Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The 72-hour window for Hamas to return all hostages to Israel is open. That's according to the U.S. envoy Steve Witkoff, as the Israeli military says it's withdrawn to the position agreed upon in the first phase of the peace deal brokered by the White House. ABC's Mary Bruce has more.
The big question, then what? The president's 20-point plan had called for Hamas to disarm and for Gaza to be governed by an apolitical Palestinian committee overseen by an international board of peace with Trump as its chairman.
But no Nobel Peace Prize for President Trump. The committee awarded this year's honor to the opposition leader in Venezuela, Maria Machado. The White House communications director in a statement says the Nobel Committee placed politics over peace. No end in sight to the government shutdown after the Senate departed without a funding measure. This means military members can miss paychecks next week, and federal troops expected to begin patrolling Memphis today. This is ABC News.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is inviting residents to participate in Drug Takeback Day this month. The event is held twice each year, giving Wisconsinites a chance to dispose of unwanted or unneeded medications at collection sites across the state. Department of Health Services officials say the spring collection this year took in nearly 57,000 pounds of unwanted medications. The fall Drug Takeback Day will be held on October 25th, and a full list of collection sites is available on the Department of Health Services website. Despite questions over federal funding sources, the Wisconsin Home Energy Assistance Program is still offering residents help with their winter utility bills. The program is meant to help residents cover their electric bills during the winter months when utility costs tend to spike. Funding for the program comes from both state and federal sources, but between funding cuts, staff layoffs, and the ongoing government shutdown, $4 billion of federal funding may not be available this year. Residents can still apply for the assistance through May 15th. Wisconsin and Minnesota Department of Transportation officials are inviting area residents to a public meeting on the Blatnik Bridge reconstruction project this month. The public meeting will be held on October 20th at the Superior Public Library beginning at 5 p.m. DOT officials will share a presentation on the current status of the project following the completion of the Twin Ports Interchange project and answer questions from residents. The reconstruction project is expected to close the Blatnik Bridge from 2026 to 2031. The City of Superior held a pair of public meetings this week regarding potential plans to change some one-way roads in the area. The plans are focused on improving safety around Banks, Ogden, and John Avenues in the Midtown neighborhood. City officials are proposing turning them into two-way roads, which they say increases driver awareness and naturally reduces traffic. Some area residents expressed concerns that two-way streets could attract more traffic. The city is considering temporary projects to evaluate if the change would improve safety. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Cubs and the crew at 2-2. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it happened again. First inning, the Brewers' Freddie Peralta on the mound. Bottom of the first, two men on. The Cubs, Ian Happ at the plate on TBS.
Happ with a drive, right field, way back there, gone! Ian Happ takes Freddie Peralta deep for the second time in the series, and the Cubs lead 3-0.
The Cubs went on to win last night 6-0 to force a Game 5 tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Manager Pat Murphy.
Going into a winner-take-all Game 5, how do you guys get that momentum back on your side?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you can't force. Momentum in baseball happens based on what's on the field. Hopefully, the tables will turn when we get into Game 5 at our place.
NBA, the Bucks with another preseason win, 117-111 over the Pistons at Fiserv Forum. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be mostly sunny today, another beautiful fall day with a high in the low to mid 60s here this afternoon. Tonight, clear, we'll drop into the upper 30s to near 40. Then tomorrow, more of the same, lots of sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Hawkeyes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.5 FM, 1260 AM, WLAK.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Jennifer Sullivan of the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. We break down what's going on with MAGA's refusal to talk about making healthcare affordable for Americans under the ACA.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Kevin Mutinoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call, text, the number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. A couple changes to the show notes for today. We had planned to talk to Will Westmoreland, who is a farmer from southwestern Missouri. He has joined us on the show numerous times before. He is traveling, and he is stuck in D.C.,
Stuck in D.C.
So we have rescheduled. Will be joining us next Tuesday to talk about farmers and tariffs and waiting for that big, beautiful rescue package after the tariffs that seem kind of self-inflicted wounds. But yes, Will Westmoreland will be joining us next week. Coming up today, it is Friday, so Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. We're going to talk about red light cameras in Milwaukee. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. Also, Josh Call, Attorney General Josh Call, announcing he is not going to run for governor.
Yeah.
And also the ICE raids in Chicago. And I know there's one in particular that Dan wants to talk about that we have addressed very briefly.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a great conversation. So stick around for Dan. Coming up in hour number two, last half hour of the show, as we always do, we try and lighten things up with audio sorbet. Mm. Thank you, Calvin. Where we take a breath, get away from the news, and talk about unimportant things.
Excuse me.
Or gripes. Or just it's kind of an all-encompassing... Let's talk about this.
Let's, audio gripe, also known as, let's change the subject.
Today's audio sorbet, what job could you never do?
Yep.
And it might not, you know, police officer, I think that I know I couldn't do that job. Yeah. But I think that there are lots of other jobs when we think about them. It's like, I know I couldn't do
no.
that.
And not even, like, and I want to, it's not just a, I couldn't do it because of maybe physicality or because of education. One where you say that I have no interest. I couldn't do it because I don't care enough.
Well, and I wouldn't be good at it.
Yeah.
So that's coming up for audio sorbet. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Flying High Edition. Stay tuned for that. It should be a lot of fun. Of course, we are going to game 5.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to talk about it a lot. I just think it's important to mention that.
You've mentioned it.
Okay. Here's my theory.
Oh, God. Here comes Jane with in-depth sport theories.
Yes. They want to prove to Major League Baseball that they can pull in numbers. And so they're giving them a game 5 to say, sure, we're a small market, but we can still draw ratings. Take that, Major League Baseball. That's my theory. I'm going with it.
Sorry,
you didn't have to like it.
What you were talking about? I blacked out there for a second.
Okay, Game 5 tomorrow in Milwaukee. 6:30 broadcast starts. Our broadcast starts at 6:30 tomorrow. The first pitch goes out tomorrow night at 7:08. As always, you cannot listen on the live stream. You have to listen on terrestrial radio.
Can't listen on the app either.
Can't listen on the app. That's also streaming. Yeah. Yep. So you have to listen on terrestrial radio. Catch it in Richland Center on WRCE, in Hayward on WBZH, in Park Falls, WCQM, here in Racine and Kenosha. Tomorrow, our broadcast starts 6:30 on WRJN, again, in Racine and Kenosha. Go Crew. Wanted to start off with this. And I think it's important we just put things in a little bit of context, because we tend to forget.
Yeah.
I forget what we had for dinner last night. So back in February of this year, February 17th, that's when the Trump administration started firing hundreds of FAA employees.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of them.
Yes.
This kind of created some problems that first weekend. But the impacted workers, excuse me, included people hired to monitor radar, landing, navigational maintenance. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy at that point said fewer than 400 FAA employees were fired, zero air traffic controllers, and critical safety personnel were let go. However, officials told the AP the agency did keep employees who perform critical safety functions, but they're looking at whether some of these people were really necessary.
Now, I know that when we talk about government employees and we talk about the concepts of bloat or fraud, wasteful spending or whatever, there are a lot of conversations that can be apt to this topic. And I usually think more of like the department type of stuff, stuff that's like in D.C. when you're talking about like, oh, you know, this FBI or the Department of Defense or like all these three letter departments. I understand where people have their gripes about, well, what are they even doing?
Right. What are all those pencil pushers?
But when it comes to the FAA, anybody who works for the FAA at the actual airport, I feel like they're there for a very specific reason, and we shouldn't look at those locations. Like the FAA department in D.C., okay, if there's an undersecretary to the assistant of the undersecretary, let's look at that. But when we're talking about the jobs that you just named off, I don't feel like they should come into question because they all feel important.
Yeah, maintenance is kind of, you know, one of those things when you're flying. Maintenance, you want to check on that stuff. So here's the article from yesterday. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lawrence Andrea with the byline. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy now says air traffic controllers could be fired for not showing up during the government shutdown. He said they will not get paid and could be fired. Duffy said in an interview on Faux News he's seen an uptick in air traffic controllers calling in sick since the government shutdown October 1st, and that's why he's blaming flight disruptions. There were like 4,600 flights that got delayed yesterday. And then the ripple effect from that is huge.
It's really only going to get worse, and we were talking about this earlier before we got on the air, and this could be one of the things that really push it for a lot of people because President Trump has been in office since the 21st of January, so we're talking about a little over eight months and some change. We're going into the ninth month here, and there have been firings. There have been things happening. There has been the blob of the bill, but not a lot of, like, tangible common things happening. I'm going a long way to make this point. Being stuck at the airport because of the shutdown and because of these cuts from DOGE is something that everyone, regardless of party, is experiencing. And they may see they're going, why is this happening? Well, it's because of the shutdown. It's because of DOGE. It's because of these things. And air traffic controllers calling in sick. I don't know if it's so much a protest, but that's a way of guaranteeing pay because they get sick pay. And the president this week said, oh, I'm not even sure we're going to give them their back pay.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, that is unheard of. That is going to be directly in the courts.
Sean Duffy, Wisconsinite.
ruler of roads.
Ruler of roads, Sean Duffy said, quote, listen, we need more controllers, but we need the best and the brightest of dedicated controllers. If we have some on our staff that aren't dedicated like we need, we're going to let them go. I can't have people not showing up for work, unquote. By the way, Duffster decided to go to an air traffic control tower live.
Yeah.
Broadcasting.
Yeah.
And interrupted an air traffic controller to ask him questions.
Yep. And the air traffic controller was real honest. I got a mortgage. I have a wife who doesn't work. I have kids. I can't lose my job. I can't not get paid. And Sean Duffy is doing his best. And I will find the clip. The clip is from the Daily Show. Josh Johnson hosted this week and they played it. But the guy doing, by the way, who's doing his job.
The right air traffic controller, yes.
Is being very honest. And Sean Duffy is doing his best to be one, empathetic. I don't think that's something he's capable of, but also trying to steer the narrative of this shutdown is making it hard for everyone. But it's not my fault. It's not my fault. This is like, listen to this guy tell his story. That's the shutdown's terrible. Guess what, bud? Your party's in charge of everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Before the shutdown, Sean Duffy said air traffic controller shortages were responsible for about 5% of flight delays. Right now, the shortage is responsible for 53% of the delays. And I guess one of my things is Sean Duffy still going to keep getting paid, isn't he?
Yes, he will.
Transportation secretary?
He will continue to get paid.
He'll keep getting paid.
All of those congressmen and senators, regardless of party, will continue to get paid. It's really a great deal for them. And,
no kidding.
And every time we've had a shutdown, it's the same thing people say is, take away their pay.
Right.
See how long the government stays closed.
Right.
Yeah.
I would think that is something we could all agree on.
Mm-hmm. You would think. Yes. I would.
Right. Our elected officials, if they're going to do a government shutdown and the government workers don't get paid, they are still government workers. Our elected officials are government workers. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So they shouldn't get paid.
No.
And then, I don't know, do we pay him back pay? Well, we'll have to wait and see. I think the people should get to vote on that.
I think that, I mean, the president himself, we played the clip of him saying, if a shutdown happens, the guy up top should be
responsible.
Fired. Yeah.
It's the president's fault if there's a shutdown. Our current president said that.
Yes.
Out loud.
In 2013.
It's on tape.
And this is his third shutdown.
Yeah. Third shutdown.
I guess the question I have is, I don't know. I keep on asking the question, but I don't really know what the breaking point is. I being stuck at the airport with thousands of other people because of slow movement, because of lack of staff, because of a shutdown, because of Doge cuts, I feel like that is a real-time example in front of your face to at the very least say,
What's going on here?
Like, who is in charge here?
And by the way, speaking of Doge,
yeah,
Wall Street Journal just came out with a report that said that despite Doge's actions, government spending is actually up.
Ha!
Elon boasted that he was going to save $2 trillion at the beginning of January. Mm-hmm. Wall Street Journal says, yeah, that hasn't happened. That's not even close, according to the Wall Street Journal. Doge did claw back some grants and fired some probationary workers, but that has not changed the big picture so far. Total spending, excluding interest, rose $220 billion or 4% for the entire fiscal year.
And let's remember, too, the way they saved money, quote, saved money, was getting rid of social programs, grants. That's their version of saving money.
Well, and then firing all these people and then realizing, oh, my God, he had the keys to everything.
Yeah.
Let's hire him back.
Yep.
It's so fiscally responsible. Coming up, are you expecting a package from UPS?
Not right now.
You might be waiting longer than you expected. All the details on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk, drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Join Todd Alba later on today, 2 to 4 across the network. He is going to talk to the public address announcer of the Badgers, Mike Menke, at 2:35. He's been announcing games for a long time at Camp Randall.
I'm going to try it real quick here. The Madison Badgers football. Did I do it right? How did I do?
You could be a big voice guy.
I have voice of bigness. Football.
In the 3 o'clock hour, Todd is going to have a VIP ticket giveaway for the world premiere of the movie No Packers, No Life.
I really want to see this movie.
It's the story of dedicated Japanese Packer fans who fulfill their dream of experiencing Lambeau Field. They're going to premiere it at the Majestic in Waukesha.
I'm not going to lie. That makes me emotional. Because the thing about the Packers is that their fandom is worldwide.
Absolutely.
And die hard.
Absolutely.
And people worship them. And that's one of the things I really love about that team. So I know I'm going to be sitting there going, I'm just sitting here to watch a really good movie. When is that premiere happening?
The premiere is next week in Waukesha at the Majestic Theater. And you have a chance to pick up some VIP tickets for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life. So join Todd today in the 3 o'clock hour and get a chance to pick up those tickets.
I am going to. I'm not going to. I can't.
You cannot. You cannot.
But no, I would like to. I'd love to go to that. Oh my God. I just hold Todd's hand and be like, it's so inspiring.
It's probably going to be, hopefully it'll have a long life in the theaters and get on stream and then we can all enjoy
it. Win all the awards.
All right. Before we get to, if you're waiting for a package from UPS, you could be waiting a while. But Gene from Eau Claire is waiting patiently on the line. Good morning, Gene. Thanks for joining us. What's up?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'll tell you something. I can't take it anymore.
Hey, Gene, are you upset? Just are you fired up? Are you perturbed?
Oh, am I perturbed? You're lucky that I'm not out on the street. I'd be out there protesting with the biggest sign you ever had, and I wouldn't leave, and they'd have to take me out on whatever. But I'll tell you something. I am watching what the devil's going on here, and I'm watching live, you know, these brutal attacks, animalistic behavior. These people, if Pavlov's hierarchy of needs and people's, you know, the way they live their lives, these people would be on the bottom. They'd be like the crocodiles and alligators and eating everything or killing everything in their sight. Somebody said that to me once. He's trying to kill off Americans. No, he's not. I couldn't believe that one. Well, now I believe it.
Yeah.
The stuff that this man is allowed to do, but it's not just him. It's those people around him. It's the wealthiest people in America, the people, idiots, said he put in those different areas that we need good people. And they're idiots, and they don't care. And the sad thing is I'm watching that little guy behind the glasses looking so Christian, and I'm getting mad about it because I'm a Christian and I don't wear it on my sleeve, hurting the churches, telling lies like they're spewing out all over the place. And people are believing it. And in the meantime, every single American is hurting, worried, concerned, and these yahoos aren't doing goddamn thing about it. And in fact, they turn their nose and they go back and sit in their offices and they're going to make everybody suffer. So the best thing we can do is get goddamn good candidates because every goddamn one of them need to go. And Tiffany, he was involved in what happened in Wisconsin, didn't fix the roads, didn't work on anything, sent money to their big wealthy donation people, and then Tony Evers had to come and fix it. So wake up, folks. You guys need to get active. Check out these people who are running and get rid of these son of a guns because they don't give one iota about anybody in this state or in this country, and we got to save the children's future. So I'm done. I'm sorry. I've been watching this stuff live, and I can't believe it.
We appreciate it, Gene. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Gene's very passionate.
Mm-hmm.
She's very involved.
If you're like Gene Jane... Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Sure.
If you're like Gene Jane, that time I did, and you are feeling as fired up as Gene is, and you want to do something about it, where can one go to maybe, say, voice your opinion on the matter?
You could go to My Vote.
I have a banner on the live stream created for such a place.
MyVote.wi.gov. All you have to do is type in your address.
Yes.
And every elected official who represents you from the very smallest all the way to the top will give you their contact information. They work for us.
They work for us.
You can call them.
You can call them and be respectful. Call them anytime. Leave messages. Be respectful. But also, if they don't know how we are feeling, if we are not contacting them, they
think what they're doing is fine.
Exactly.
They do.
So let your voice be heard. We still have a voice. MyVote.wi.gov. It's a great resource besides the contact information.
Yes.
But yeah. But thank you, Jeannie, very much. And as I just want to repeat really quick, something that Jeannie said recently that I didn't know. She's also an independent.
Right.
She's an independent. She's not a loony, lefty, liberal, crunchy, hippie. Sorry, crunchy hippies. But, yeah, she is an independent. And this is firing the independents up hard.
MyVote.wi.gov. Make some phone calls.
Yeah.
Drop a line.
Write a letter.
Let them know you're thinking about them.
Yeah.
News is coming up next. We will tell you about the UPS story because I do want to share this with you if you're waiting for a package.
I want us to try to do this for the rest of the show, and it just never happens.
We'll never get to the point. That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging hunters to share their passion for the sport with the next generation during this year's Youth Deer Hunt. The annual event will be held on Saturday and Sunday, offering hunters 15 and younger the chance to learn hunting techniques in a less crowded environment than the traditional 9-day gun deer hunt season. Youth hunters will be eligible to hunt under a mentor's supervision. Mentors must be at least 18 years old, have a current license, and have completed a hunter education course. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is still seeking input from residents on proposed rule changes for ATV and UTV riders. At a public hearing last week, DNR officials said the administrative code hasn't been updated in over a decade despite frequent changes to ATV and UTV statutes. The proposed changes aim to improve safety for riders, including measures to require seatbelt usage and improving visibility through windshields. Residents can provide public comments on the proposed administrative code changes through October 14th. The Barron County Sheriff's Department requested two significant expenses from the County Executive Committee at their meeting this month. Sheriff's Office officials are asking for a radio upgrade estimated to cost around $1.5 million and a new patrol boat for around $80,000. They also say selling off some of their current equipment that needs replacement could help offset a portion of that cost. The full Barron County Board would need to approve the proposal with a 3/4 majority to authorize the purchases. The Hayward School Board covered topics ranging from curriculum to building projects at its monthly special meeting this week. The building project involves the construction of a new building for the Northern Waters Environmental School, where officials say they've outgrown their current space. The Facilities Committee voted to move forward with design plans for the expansion project. The school board also considered adding an emergency medical responder certification course at the high school and a life skills curriculum for Native American middle school students. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. One battle after another seems to be the movie with the most early Oscar buzz. According to Variety, the critic's darling and really fun movie start to finish is on track to potentially receive as many as 14 Academy Award nods. If it happens, it would tie the record for the most all time held by Titanic, All About Eve, and La La Land. Six of those nominations could come in the acting category. Five of the potential acting nominees are well-seasoned, if not previous winners. But the big story is breakout star of the film, Chase Infinity, who could draw a Best Actress nod. Her two female co-stars, Regina Hall and Tiana Taylor, are favorites to draw nominations in the Best Supporting Actress category. Leonardo DiCaprio is expected to be nominated for Best Actor, with co-stars Sean Penn and Benicio Del Toro possibly receiving Best Supporting Actor nominations. That would give the film six nominations for acting, which is unprecedented. If you haven't seen this movie, I highly recommend it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK.
It is going to be mostly sunny today, another beautiful fall day with a high in the low to mid-60s here this afternoon. Tonight, clear, we'll drop into the upper 30s to near 40. Then tomorrow, more of the same, lots of sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 47.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I talk about the new Civic Media sports show, Make the Call, with Parker Olson and Greg Gunderson. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr is in the house. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up about an hour from now is a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we like to get away from the news, talk about things that are a little more lighthearted so we don't all crack up and lose our minds. Today, the topic for Audio Sorbet, what job could you not do?
And it's not just physical or mental. It's just like, no.
I would not be good at this.
I couldn't do that job.
I would not be good at this job.
Yeah.
What job could you not do? And you can text in your answer now if you're not going to be around next hour at 855-752-4842. Talking about jobs and the jobs you just could not do.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up about an hour from now. As promised, we wanted to talk about this. UPS, this from NBC News. UPS is disposing of U.S.-bound packages over customs paperwork problems.
Is this a Trump thing?
Thousands of U.S.-bound packages shipped by UPS are now trapped at hubs across the country, stuck there because of the maze of new customs requirements imposed by the Trump administration.
There it is.
As packages, flags for custom issues pile up in UPS warehouses, the company, UPS, told NBC it has begun disposing of some shipments. There is such a backlog.
Yeah.
Of packages.
Yeah.
That now they're just getting rid of some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Wasserbach, who is brokerage manager of Express Customs Clearance, said of the UPS backlog, "I have never seen anything like this before. It's completely unprecedented."
Let me, while you're talking, like, because a couple months ago, we covered a story where it was some companies outside the U.S. are just no longer even shipping here because of all of the convoluted things they have to go through to get a package through customs. They're just like, no, sorry, we're not shipping to America anymore. Sorry, get it somewhere else. I mean, this is what I was talking about with regard to the airline industry. These are real, tangible examples of how these policies are first just inept and then harm us. And harm, I'm using in the term of like a legal term, not like hurt me, I'm bruised, battered, but put a dent in my wallet, make an inconvenience. I buy something from somewhere. I expect that thing to be at my doorstep at a given time. If it can't get through because of customs and they then throw it out, they're not even shipping it back.
No.
Then,
or telling you that it got destroyed.
These are real life consequences of these stupid policies.
And these policies affect not just red, not just blue.
Yes.
But independents too.
Oh, clip that, please. That's Calvin for real. That was content. That's, we're going to make
but
a song.
But it affects all of us. It
does. Absolutely.
NBC News reporting that more than two dozen people, they heard from more than two dozen people who are waiting for their packages from UPS. They talked about shipments of tea, telescopes, luxury glassware, musical instruments, worth tens of thousands of dollars in limbo. Or they might just be gone. They might just be gone. Ashley Freeberg is missing several boxes she shipped via UPS from England in September. These were journals, records, books, lots of personal keepsakes.
Mm-hmm.
She said over the next 2 weeks, she got two separate notifications from UPS that her personal mementos had not cleared customs, and as a result, she heard about it. They disposed of them. October 1st, a UPS tracking update appeared for her packages, saying they were on the way.
Oh, God.
And she got updates that she showed NBC that the shipments revealed it was the most recent update she had gotten. But they're gone. The stuff is gone.
There's no replacing those things.
Not do you, personal mementos
do
like
you
that.
Get your money back? Like, what is the recourse? What is the redress on these situations for an individual who's just, you know, doing what a lot of people have been doing for decades, which is shipping things from one place to the other?
A Boston man said he shipped a package from Japan via UPS. After it sat in Louisville for about 2 weeks, he got a tracking update saying, quote, "We're sorry your package did not clear customs and has been removed from the UPS network. Per customs guidelines, it has been destroyed. Contact the sender for more information."
And just to give clarification to what I was talking about with regard to the earlier story we covered on the country is not shipping to the U.S. because of what's called it's an easier process because of something called the de minimis trade agreement, which President Trump has allowed to sunset. It would allow packages that were worth less than $800 to enter the U.S. duty free. And it's going that agreement is going to sunset. Because of that, 25 UN member nations are no longer going to ship because it doesn't make sense for them to do it.
To go, it's too much hassle.
So you cannot buy from them if you live here. Like, these are real consequences. And again, the question I have, Jane, what is your breaking point? Mine was a while ago. Mine was the day after the election. That was my breaking point. But what is it going to take for one of you listeners who love Donald Trump? Again, don't tell me you don't like him. That's fine. I don't care about your feelings towards him. I'm saying, what is going to be your breaking point to your pocketbook, to your convenience, to your life that will make you at the very least just say, okay, what? That's where I want. That's the level for me. It's just, okay, what?
2 years of pain.
Yeah.
That's what Elon said, 2 years of pain.
Luckily, billionaires can endure lots of pain.
They'll be fine.
Yeah.
UPS says it is doing its best to get all packages to their destinations while following the new customs requirements. Quote, "Because of changes to U.S. import regulations, we're seeing many packages unable to clear customs because of missing or incomplete information." UPS said it does try several times to get missing information so they can clear those, contacting shippers three times, but ultimately, if they can't get that information, they're out of luck.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are waiting for a package from UPS, it could be waiting a while.
I mean, and that's we talked to Lisa Schiller last week about scams, and one of the things that we are going to be talking about more is holiday scams. And the reason why I bring this up is because with these problems with shipping, I have a feeling I don't want to project it into the universe. You could see people coming out saying, having shipping problems? Talk to us.
We have a way to go around it.
Because if UPS is disposing of packages and you're out of money and they're a legit billion-dollar corporation, I have no doubt there's some guy in East Brunswick, New Jersey, who's like, I'll start Steve's shipping company taking people's money. So that's something
That's a good point.
Just be aware.
Aware.
Yeah.
855-752-4842 if you'd like to join us. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. What'd you want to say about this?
Well, I was sitting here pulling my hair out. Greg touched on it a little bit, but I was already blowing off steam trying to figure out how are you going to get your money back.
Yeah.
Most people who have ordered and are waiting have had to pay put it on their credit card whatever, PayPal or whatever. How are they going to get their money back? And if there isn't someone that you can set up that could maybe find that out and talk to us like your Better Business lady.
We'll see what else we can what else we can learn about this, Ollie. Absolutely.
I mean, your first call is going to be UPS, and the thing is, and I know I'm not one to sit here and sympathize with corporations, but they just want to do their job. They want to give an experience to a customer that is satisfactory so they keep using it and so you don't go to their competitors, as there are a lot of competitors now. So it's in their best interest to get this resolved and give you all the information you need. I wouldn't be even surprised if there's a special website now on their page saying, hey, did you ship? And the thing, sorry, here you, and then give you the information, because it's really, I mean, the airline story that you brought up, and that these are just real world examples of things that affect regular folk like me and you, people who work for a living. We're not billionaires. I'm not even a million. I'm barely a thousandaire at this point. Right. I own a house. I'm in debt. But there comes a breaking point. I mean, that was the chief complaint last year during the election from a lot of
individuals. It was prices.
It was, I gotta make decisions. Is it rent? Is it clothes? Is it food? Is it my kid's school? We're seeing the impact of decisions being made. And now all these individuals who last year were saying, but what about the price of eggs, are silent. Are you fine now, or are you just taking it on the teeth because you have to?
Well, they're being good Americans, and they're going to suffer those 2 years of pain because that's what they were
apparently a sucky American
promised. Switching gears just a little bit, there was a panel discussion at last week's World Dairy Expo.
Oh, yes.
And this is an opinion piece, commentary piece from Ruth Conniff in the Wisconsin Examiner. And Wisconsin's own Derek Van Orden spoke.
You trying to get my blood pressure up?
To the farmers. He assured them that the Trump administration has farmers' backs. He said, Elon Musk, I spoke to Elon Musk. I was like, hey, Elon, there's two groups of people in the U.S. we need to watch out for. One of them are service members, and the other are farmers. So he really zoned in on that and grasped it. And DVO also said another incredibly strong proponent of the dairy industry is Tom Homan, the border czar, the architect of the family separation policy during the first Trump administration.
The guy who's $50,000 richer because he took a bag full of money.
Derek Van Orden asked the dairy farmers to support his proposal for a new system to make the workforce legal. It would impose a fine on employers and dairy workers and require those workers to self-deport before coming back under a new program that would allow them to do their jobs legally. The farmers had a lot of questions. What is the workers' incentive to take part in this? How long would it take the government to process this paperwork, get them out of the country, and then send them back? How do they know they won't get deported as soon as they come back? He didn't answer any of those questions. I know that's shocking.
You know me, my history with this man. It's a very one-sided battle. I know that. And I used to try to pick fights with him because I just wanted to see him get angry at me. But the more we talk about this man, He is just an example of a human being who is so bad at his job, but yet he gets to do things like this. And people are like, it says in the article, they're willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. What's happening?
Going to have to give a lot more benefits going forward. When we return, I want a Nobel Prize, and I want it now.
Okay, I'll get one.
It's like What's-Her-Face from Willy Wonka, the purple girl.
Did you just say William Wonka?
Him, too. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking
kicking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shore lines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates, and the comeback that's being helped along by solar farms. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This is burbling all over the place. Donald Trump did not get the Nobel Peace Prize today. This from the Daily Beast. Despite his desperate lobbying campaign for the honor, appears he craves more than anything else. Calvin, we're going live right now for a comment from the White House. Can you play that clip, please?
Oh. No, I want one of those.
Bunker, how much do you want for the Golden Goose?
They're not for sale.
Name the price.
She can't have one.
Who says I can't?
The man with a funny hat.
I want one. I want a golden goose. Gooses.
There it is.
There you go. I want it.
I want it now.
And I want it now.
Why can't I have it right now, Jane?
For one thing, the nomination process for all of the Nobel Prizes is an 8-month long screening and decision making process.
And there's something in the process. This is an official term they use. They have a deadline.
They do.
They have a deadline.
They do have a deadline.
They have a deadline.
Yeah, and he'll very likely be nominated next year.
And for the record, this has happened to presidents before. If this goes through, the peace deal between Israel and Gaza, the nomination will make sense. I understand the reason for the nomination. If it holds, if it sticks, everyone does their thing. But the incapability of grasping the fact that the nominations were due January 31st of this year for what came out this week, and he was in office for 10 days. Just let it go.
Well, no.
And let 2026 be your year. Like, just...
No, he wants it now. He wants it now, Greg. On Faux News this morning, Maria Bartiromo.
Oh, my God. This
talking to Steve Scalise, Republican lawmaker. Maria said, on your point about the Nobel Peace Prize, do you think maybe the reason Trump won't get it is because you had to get the application in before January 31st? That was only a few days into his term. Steve Scalise said, oh, sure, they can play technicalities. That's the deadline.
And again, I apologize for not having this clip ready because it's a fascinating conversation between Maria Bartiromo, who's just always fun to listen to you, to listen to her talk at your face, and Steve Scalise, because first she starts with, well, I don't understand why he got it. And then she brings up a perfectly reasonable answer, a point, which is
there was a deadline.
Yeah. They missed it. Fine. Next year.
Yeah.
Get your paperwork ready.
Yeah.
Get going. I know you all will do it. Then Steve Scalise says that, oh, a technicality. Then she says, yeah, you're right. Like, she just falls apart right there.
Well, of course she
did. Realizes she just did the main problem when you're on Fox News, which is you presented logic and reason in an argument, and the moment she... It's like when Stephen Miller started talking about plenary... Plenary authority. He just shut down, short-circuited, and went into buffer mode because she's like, oh, I can't. I gave a reason why he can't get something. You're right. Technicalities.
A reporter asked one of the members of the Nobel Committee about this. U.S. President Donald Trump has repeatedly said he'd like to have the Nobel Peace Prize and he deserves it. He said it would be an insult to the U.S. if he doesn't get it. What do you think of this? The chair of the Nobel Committee responded essentially by saying campaigning for it and media attention does not work. He also said the Nobel Committee bases their decision on, quote, courage and integrity, unquote.
Ouch. This isn't the Emmys. This isn't the Oscars. You don't hire people to campaign.
To lobby for you.
But also, and while that's a wonderful statement and that last little stinger of salt in the wound, but I will say, I will give you one other alternate answer to that question that they asked about his Donald Trump wanting it. If he just would have said, Donald who?
Oh! Ouch.
Oh!
By the way, the Nobel Committee gave this year's Nobel Peace Prize to Maria Corina Machado. She is a Venezuelan opposition leader described as a brave and committed champion of peace. She's receiving the Nobel Peace Prize for her tireless work promoting democratic rights for the people of Venezuela and for her struggle to achieve a just and peaceful transition from dictatorship to democracy. I don't know. We have a weekend coming up. Maybe we could all do some art projects with our kids and make little Nobel Prize, little medals for him.
I'll give $10 if you can put Jeffrey Epstein on the prize.
Oh, but with them side by side?
I'm just saying, let's begin the countdown clock to when Donald Trump publicly insults this woman.
He hasn't yet?
I don't think
he's probably still sleeping.
I don't think he has. Then he has to have breakfast, and that'll be...
doesn't really start work till noonish.
Three Big Macs, that'll take him about 10 minutes. Yeah, wait, I want to see what he has to say about this woman, how he's going to somehow insult her, yet think he's giving her a compliment. Maybe she could give it to me or share it with me or mention me at her speech.
Well, maybe she'll just give it to me because someone actually gave him a Purple Heart.
For bone spurs incurred during battle?
Because he's such a wonderful hero.
He's correct? Got plumpy muscles, and he muscles all over America with his plumpy...
He's got very plumpy ankles. We know for that,
sure. Hey, cankles are nothing to make fun of.
News is coming up next. And then when we return, we're going to do some recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, creator of the Recombobulation Area. He is also Civic Media's political editor. We're going to talk about Josh Call not jumping into the gubernatorial race, red light cameras in Milwaukee, and much, much more. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House Communications Director says the Nobel Committee placed politics over peace by not awarding the Nobel Peace Prize to President Trump. It went to Venezuela's opposition leader, Maria Machado. The first phase of the peace deal in Gaza is underway as Israeli forces have withdrawn to areas specified in the White House agreement. The clock, meanwhile, ticking on a 72-hour window for Hamas to release all hostages. ABC National Security and Intelligence Analyst Mick Mulroy says,
"This is a very difficult time, but obviously a very good time for the families of these hostages and Israel and the people of Gaza, which will see a substantial increase in humanitarian assistance."
National Guard troops on patrol in Memphis, the latest city where President Trump's deployed troops, but no troops in Illinois after a federal judge granted an order restraining troops from the state. The government shutdown continues and looks set to stretch into next week. This is ABC News.
Farm news that